Jabihari Kopi Jana Balava Kirivadadari Chai Radha Marava Punjabi Kopi Jana Balava Kirivadadari Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Jamuna Kiravana Chari Jaya Radha Madhava Punjabi Hari Kopi Jana Valabha Giri Vadadari Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Jamuna Kiravana Chari Jaya Radha Madhava Punjabi Hari Kopi Jana Valabha Giri Vadadari Jaya Radha Madhava Punjabi Hari Kopi Jana Valabha Giri Vadadari Jaya Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parivachaka Charya Ashtotara Satishri Jivan His divine grace as he walked even down the swan is Srila Prabhupada ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. Gaur Premanandi. So let me add my welcome to that of Mother Mukya for everybody coming out. Nice brisk day. This evening we're going to be speaking from a very small book, a very significant book written by Rupa Goswami, Prabhupada's Nectar of Instruction, Upadeshamrita. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Bhagavate Vasudevaya. You know, we often present Krishna consciousness to the general public as a science, as opposed to just Thank you. We present Krishna consciousness as a science as opposed to religion. And that has its good aspects and bad aspects. Religion has sort of a bad name today in the modern world. People want more surety, clarity, so therefore they turn to science. So sometimes we characterize, for preaching purposes, Krishna consciousness as a science. Good and bad. Bad is that science often conveys impersonalism, and the wonderful relationships that are established both with devotees of the Lord as well as the Lord himself sometimes get lost in this scientific presentation. But Krishna consciousness is far from dry impersonalism. It's full of life and love and happiness, frolicking with the Supreme Lord. And it also involves loving relationships among the devotees of the Lord. And so that's why I've chosen to speak this evening from Nectar of Instruction, because although this is a very small book, 11 or 12 verses? 11. 11 verses only. There's some very, very important instruction in here about personalism, about relationships amongst the devotees. So our process is not a dry and personal one. It's full of friendship and love. And so Rupa Goswami, who wrote this Upadeshamrita, Nectar of Instruction, describes this in text number 4 of 11 in the book. Oh, we did get it up there. Thank you, Connor Porpuru. So we can chant this verse. I think most devotees know it. First, let me get my glasses on so I can see what I'm doing. Text number 4. Dadati patigrinanti. Goyamakyati prachati. Bhunkte bhojate jaiva. Savidam pratilakshanam. Would anyone else like to chant the Sanskrit? Thank you. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Offering gifts in charity, accepting charitable gifts, revealing one's mind in confidence, inquiring confidentially, accepting prasadam and offering prasadam are the six symptoms of love shared by one devotee and another. Do we all do this? One of these or more of these, six of these things regularly? Raise your hand, you do these things regularly. Good. Then you'll know what I'm talking about. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. In this verse, Srila Rupa Goswami explains how to perform devotional activities in the association of other devotees. There are six kinds of activities. One, giving charity to the devotees. Two, accepting from the devotees whatever they may offer in return. Number three, opening one's mind to the devotees. Number four, inquiring from them about confidential service of the Lord. Five, honoring prasadam, or spiritual food, given by the devotees. And six, feeding the devotees with prasadam. An experienced devotee explains, and an inexperienced devotee learns from him. This is guhyam akyati prachiti. When a devotee distributes prasadam, remnants of food offered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in order to maintain our spirit of devotional service, we must accept this prasadam as the Lord's grace received through the pure devotees. We should also invite pure devotees to our home, offer them prasad, and be prepared to please them in all respects. This is called Bhakti Bhojate Chaiva. So I'll comment on different sections of the purport as we go through today to bring out the message that is here. So in this first paragraph, although six processes are given, much attention is given to the prasadam sections, honoring prasadam and feeding the devotees prasadam. Who has an idea why this might be the first of the six elements that Srila Prabhupada mentions in his purport? Anybody ever had any thoughts about that? Why prasadam first? Somebody? I can't see because they have the wrong glasses on. That's very good. The way to a man or a woman's heart is through the stomach. Same principle works in spiritual life. Actually, Srila Prabhupada... Well, another reason before we get into Srila Prabhupada's specific instruction, another thing we should understand is that most of the devotees are grihasthas or family people. They live in a family setting, grihastha ashram. And in that ashram, there are certain duties, certain duties are more important than others. And distributing prasadam is particularly important for the grihasthas. And Srila Prabhupada actually gives five instructions for grihasthas on prasadam distribution. So one reason why it's first is he's speaking to his largest audience, as it'll always be more family-centered practice of Krishna conscious than in the ashrams where renunciates live. Actually, Srila Prabhupada in his own life tells a story about a grihastha and prasadam distribution. That grihastha was his father, Gurmohande, who Prabhupada describes as a pure devotee of the Lord. So Gurmohande, Srila Prabhupada explains, every day before taking prasadam with his family, would go out the door in the streets, and what would he say? Is anybody hungry? Please come and take. Krishna prasad is available. So that's the duty of a grihastha. And there are five elements of how grihasthas share prasadam with others, and in this way come to love and care for all living beings. That's a tall order. How to respect, honor, worship all living beings. Lord Kapila Dev, in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, explains that offering prasadam to all souls is a way to recognize the presence of the Lord, the Paramatma, in everyone's heart. So it's not just bodily nourishment that's happening through prasad distribution, but it's actually working towards developing an understanding of how the Supreme Lord is situated in everyone's heart. How can that realization practically happen? How does it manifest on a physical plane? Manifest by distributing prasadam. Distributing prasadam. And there are five ways specifically how prasadam distribution can be important for grihastha ashram. Number one, use the money earned to worship Krishna at home. As devotees of the Lord, we're not to be meant to be separatists. We understand that whatever facility is given to us by the Supreme Lord is meant to be used for others, not just ourselves. This is the first step in understanding the difference between grihamedi, or an envious householder's life, and a grihastha, a God-centered life. So whatever is earned, collected, or comes within under the supervision of a grihastha devotee must be used to worship Krishna. And how can you most easily worship Krishna and all living beings? Prasad distribution. I heard that the temple here, Mother Mukhya in particular, has approached a local church that distributes food. And as the story I heard goes, Mother Mukhya went to the pastor of that church and asked him, how many people actually come? And it's kind of a drive-through place where the church gives them a bag of groceries or something like that. She asked, how many people actually come through like that? And the pastor said, oh, about 150, 160. And so Mother Mukhya told him, well, can I help you in your food distribution by giving you a small cake, 150, 160 of them, that can be given with each car that comes through your prasad distribution, your food distribution center. And it'll say on the little cake something like, with love from the Hare Krishna devotees. This is our duty being done. Seeing all living beings, not just Hare Krishnas, but all living beings from all religious backgrounds, from all non-religious backgrounds, but seeing that the Super Soul is present in the heart of everyone by making sure they get some prasadam. So 150, 160 of these cakes are going out to the general community. This is how money is meant to be utilized, to realize our relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead and nourish the soul and body of all living beings. That's number one. Number two, spend money in receiving Vaishnavas at home. Again, our homes are an ashram, and to a practical degree, we should try to welcome Vaishnavas in our homes. I know that since the unfortunate happenings of the war in Ukraine became a reality about a year ago, devotees there were scattered, had to leave their homes. And many of them had to take shelter in temples around the world. Even in our community, there are such refugees from that situation. So again, we're not talking about some impractical, large-scale thing that's burdensome on individual families. But to the degree that we can, we should be prepared to receive Vaishnavas at our homes, to assist them in times of danger and need. So that's number two. Number three, use money to distribute prasadams amongst the masses. Well, we've already covered that one. Many devotees in world crises respond by distributing mass quantities of prasadam. And again, this is all based on the verse that we talked about being loving exchanges between devotees. So even mass prasadam distribution shouldn't lose that personal consideration, but should be done with love. Okay, number four. Money must be spent on distributing prasadam to other living entities who may not be even human form, like cows and other entities. I was just in Vrindavan for the month of Kartik. And during that time, there are various festivals, Gopuja, Govardhan Puja, where the cows are brought amongst human beings right into the temple. And at the Vrindavan Goshala in particular, all the devotees go there and they feed the cows mixture of some grains and gore. They're like these little balls. You can stick them right in the mouth. Has anybody ever fed a cow like that? Everyone should have that experience. Other living entities too. There's a story, I didn't bring it here, but it's a story told by Gauranga Das of Govardhan Echo Village about how once a devotee was offered some prasadam and he ate that prasadam and he went to the river to wash his hand after taking the prasad. And a few little particles of prasad fell into the water as he was washing his hands. So the little fishes swam around and they ate that prasadam. And then the devotees noticed something that was miraculous. All these little fish started turning into four-handed residents of Narayana, of Vaikuntha, and departed for that spiritual realm just by taking the remnants of prasadam. So prasad distribution is not just limited to the human beings, but all living entities. Again, the point being is that prasad distribution gives us a chance to see the spiritual nature of things, that the Supreme Lord Paramatma is in everyone's heart. And finally, number five, spend money in providing prasadam for oneself and one's own family. Again, not that we're talking impractically, in ways in which involve so much sacrifice that it becomes unpalatable. So provide for your family, oneself and one's family. So these are reasons why Prabhupada speaks first in this Upadeshamrita about loving exchanges between the devotees, because prasadam is so essential and central to our lives. That is the first consideration in loving relationships amongst the devotees. So Prabhupada goes on in his purport here. Even in ordinary social activities, these six types of dealings between two loving friends are absolutely necessary. For instance, when one businessman wishes to contact another businessman, he arranges a feast in a hotel. And over the feast, he openly expresses what he wishes to do. He then inquires from his business friend how he should act, and sometimes presents are exchanged. Thus, wherever there are dealings of priti, or love, and intimate dealings, these six activities are executed. There are different types, different levels of friendships and relationships that we all have. And if we don't have them, we should try to practice. Personal relationships are what maintain us in Krishna consciousness over the years. Many times I've had the experience of meeting a god brother or god sister who hasn't been active in ISKCON's activities for many, many years. But somehow or another, they're drawn back to the society of devotees. And what draws them back? Not necessarily becoming more astute and knowledgeable in the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, but in the loving dealings that they experience with other devotees. So just keep holding this thing rather than playing it up and down. The loving exchanges they experienced. When there's service done together, the difficulty of the service is mitigated by the association of devotees. The more comradeship, fellowship shared amongst the devotees, the lighter the task, even though it may be heavy. And the greater the taste in Krishna consciousness we get through the loving exchanges. Now we all know there are three types of loving exchanges, the three levels. With those devotees more advanced in Krishna consciousness than ourselves, how are we to relate to them? Can anyone say? More advanced devotees, how are we recommended to get the most out of the loving exchange with them? Serving, inquiring, yes. Taking a position of placing yourself to receive instruction. Not taking it for granted. There's a story about Srila Prabhupada being chastised by his spiritual master, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Once in a room with many disciples, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati was speaking, and Srila Prabhupada was listening. When an old man beside Srila Prabhupada, Abhay Charan, motioned to him, as Abhay leaned over to hear what the man wanted, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta suddenly spoke out in annoyance at the two apparently inattentive students. Babu, he first addressed the old man beside Abhay. Do you think you've purchased me by your 150 rupee donation? And then he turned to Abhay Charan, our Srila Prabhupada, and said, maybe you should come up here and speak rather than me. So Srila Prabhupada explains how he felt nourished and loved by such chastisement, because he was rightly situated as a servant of a devotee more advanced than himself. And he didn't mind being in that position. Sometimes we don't want to take the humble position, although someone's clearly more advanced in Krishna consciousness than we are. But we should be willing to place ourselves like that in relationship with devotees senior or more advanced than us, and we can get the most out of such a relationship, such a loving relationship. Of course, it goes both ways, and the advanced devotee doesn't just abuse the position of power. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about a healthy exchange between a senior and a junior. Another way to have reciprocal loving relations with devotees is with devotees on the same level of advancement, such as shelter is there when we experience true friendship. Friendship marked by being able to open one's mind confidentially and to hear confidentially and to reciprocate with confidential exchanges. Such loving relations nourish us, and as we have seen, can carry us for decades in our journey to becoming fully Krishna conscious. And a third way to have confidential exchanges amongst devotees is to take a position of giving shelter to newer devotees or less advanced devotees by advising, by guiding, by instructing. I think this is a particularly important message for our community here in Alachua, ISKCON, because we find so many senior devotees here who have dedicated easily 50 years of their lives to executing Krishna consciousness. Such hearts should open up to newer devotees, to give them shelter and protection. I've also seen this at work by observing my god brothers and god sisters, and I see it's a very healthy, natural kind of relationship. So these are, again, a type of intimate exchange that can be had amongst the devotees. So maybe there's some questions or comments someone may have. to none. I can just mention one other thing that I think is important. And that is our relationship with the deities. Deity worship is such an essential part in softening the heart of devotees that Srila Prabhupada took the risk, a risk only he and Acharya can take, in establishing the deities and praying that his devotees would take care, properly maintain the standards for worshiping their lordship. Such an activity that's done community-wide can result in the worship we have the fortune to be part of every day here, seeing the beautiful Radha Shyama Sundar, Krishna Balaram, Gornatai, and main centers of ISKCON around the world. You'll find a level of deity worship that's very satisfying to the heart. But some places, that's not the case. And some places it's not the case because of not understanding the deity worship properly. Actually, deity worship is a function of the ears just as much as it is a function of the eyes. Sometimes we can't really understand Krishna in his deity form. But hearing from the pure devotee helps us to overcome our material conceptions. Once Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was lecturing, and he noticed that some of his disciples got up and left in the middle of the lecture. So he asked, "Where are they going?" And the response came back that, "Oh, the deity darshan just opened in the temple, so we're going to take darshan." So Srila Bhakti Sananda Saraswati Thakur was displeased by this. And he made the comment, what will they see? They'll only see stone. Rather, they should hear. They should hear from me. And that way understand the deity being non-different from Krishna. We may say that, oh, that's a bit carrying it too far. But we carry with us material conceptions based on ignorance very deeply in our psyche. Indeed, the Padma Purana, there's a verse, Arche Vishnu Shiladhir Gurus, Arche Vishnu Siddhir Gurushu Vaishnava Jati Bodhi. That these remnants of ignorance cause us to see the deity as stone, the spiritual master as an ordinary man, or Vaishnava being conceived as coming from a particular classification within the Vedic order of things. These misconceptions need to be clarified, and they're clarified by hearing from the pure devotee. So not only are these six exchanges meant to make us happy and satisfied in the association of devotees, but they're also meant to uproot ignorance that keeps us bound to this material world, life after life. So, therefore, we have the Dini Darshan, but we also have someone speak some words to help us remember the spiritual path that we're on and how we should see. Therefore, I say deity worship is just as much about the ears as it is the eyes. And Vaishnavas are transcendental persons, even though we may see them with material vision. This is something confidentially revealing one's mind facilitates breaking up this ignorance in our psyche. So these are some thoughts on association of devotees, how nice it is, how required it is, and how beneficial it is. So that's all I have this evening. Again, does anybody have any questions? Comments? Okay. Yes, I declare to the rules.
Hare Krishna. It's a nice verse. Yeah. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, it's chapter 12, 7th canto, text number 5, instructions to civilized human beings. It says, when one gets the opportunity of a suitable, auspicious time and place, one should, with love, offer food prepared with ghee to the deity of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and then offer the prasad to a suitable person, a Vaishnava or a Brahmin. This will be the cause of everlasting prosperity. So,
pretty good reason.
Huh?
Pretty good reason to do it.
What?
That's a pretty good reason to distribute prasad.
Everlasting prosperity. Yeah, absolutely. One should offer prasad to the demigods, the saintly persons, one's forefathers, the people in general, one's family members, one's relatives and one's friends, seeing them all as devotees of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. A person fully aware of religious principles should never offer anything like meat, eggs or fish in the Shraddha ceremony, and even if one is a Kshatriya, he himself should not eat such things. When suitable food prepared with ghee is offered to saintly persons, the function is pleasing to the supreme to the forefathers and the Supreme Lord, who are never pleased when animals are killed in the name of sacrifice. Yeah. Hare Krishna.
Thank you. Okay, well now we can partake of prasad. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.